This morning, we're going to be looking at doctrine, but we're going to be looking at identification. And I'm talking more about the doctrine of identification more than I'm talking about our identity as members of the body of Christ, although that's going to be a great focus of it as well. And so keep in mind that as we look at this, that we're really studying identification as a whole, how that works and such. It reminds me of a story I heard that this cameraman had his request approved to cover a story, and he quickly used his cell phone to call up the airport, that local airport, to catch a charter flight, to charter a flight, basically. And he was told there that there was going to be a two-engine plane waiting for him at the airport. And so this cameraman, you know, arrives at this small town airport, and when he arrives at the airfield, he spots a plane warming up outside the hangar, and he jumps in with his bag, and he slams the door shut, and he shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot taxied out, he swung the plane into the wind, and he took off. Well, once in the air, the cameraman instructed the pilot that, "I want you to fly over the valley and make low passes so that I can get shots of the fires on the hillside." And at this point, the pilot's confused, and he says, "Why?" Well, and the guy says, "Well, because I'm a cameraman for the news, and I need to get some close-up shots of this fire and what's going on, the destruction, devastation." And the pilot was strangely silent for a moment, and he finally begins to stutter and stammer, and he says, "So you're telling me you're not my flight instructor?" Getting your identities mixed up with people can be a problem. Mistaken identity can sometimes be funny, but all too often it produces consequences and not laughter. Who am I is a question that people have been asking for all time. Moses asked that question. Philosophers have asked that question, trying to discover who I am. Now, I think personally that in recent times, people in general are more confused about their identity than any other time. But again, Moses asked this very question when God was sending him back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh, to bring God's people out of Egypt. Moses asked the question, "Who am I?" We even see that another story, Solomon asked the same question in regards to him being the one to build God's house, the temple. But what God said in reaction to Moses, and if we had time, if we were going to turn this into a two-parter, I would take you there. But I would tell you what God's response to him was simple but also revealing. So imagine Moses standing there finding out, "You want me to do what? I just left there. 40 years ago, I killed somebody, and I left there. And now you want me to go back and get this people Israel? Who am I to have such a thing?" And God's response, as I said, was revealing. God said, "Certainly, I will be with thee." Now, those words sometimes get lost in the page of our Bibles as we read this story. But the statement in itself is so profound. It's one of those things that when we think about our identity, "Certainly I will be with thee." You see, Moses was no longer a prince in Egypt, or he was no longer a shepherd of Jethro, which is his father-in-law. Now he's going to be an instrument of God to the nation of Israel. And God says, "Certainly I will be with thee." Moses will succeed because of God. God doesn't make mistakes in whom he chooses to do something. And before I get any further, I want to point out a problem that we're facing today. many today do not only do they not only misunderstand their true identity, but they demand the right to be able to define it for themselves. That's a different issue than just not knowing your identity. And they insist you accept their chosen identity. The world is shouting to all who will listen, do not let anyone define you. That's what the world wants to say. Don't let anyone define you. Most of them will say, don't even let God define you. And that you are whatever you want to be. People want to define themselves based upon their occupation, their preferences, their earthly interests, and relationships. Matter of fact, when you are introduced to somebody and you're getting to know them, and they're getting to know you, and somebody says, tell me a little about yourself, most of us don't, even as Christians, start off with, I am a saved redeemer. I'm saved and redeemed. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am a Christian, and forever I am. We don't say that. And I don't say that to your shame. I say that to ours. We put our identity in so many other things. And the fact of the matter is as Christians, God, even before Christians, our identity was never what we chose it to be. Our identity was what it was. God's message to us, God's message is not that you are defined by your occupation, by your preferences, by your interests, or even by your relationships, except for one. Our identity is not based on who we want to be. It's rather on who He is. That's what our identity is about. When we look at the Christian identification, the Christian's identification, we are looking at the most important doctrine about man today after being saved. Understand me, and let me say that again. Outside of salvation, obviously you have to be saved first. But when you get to the next part, once you have been saved, the most important doctrine, at least in my opinion, is the doctrine of identification. You want to study the thing that's going to have the most profound effect on your Christian walk, on your Christian life. If you want to understand how salvation works, why we have eternal salvation, all of these things are wrapped up in the doctrine of identification. That's how important it is. Again, first you need to be saved. First you need to understand who Jesus is. To understand your identity. I don't care who you are. You must know Jesus. Matter of fact, Romans 1. God gives us insight whenever He talks about the fact that the people of the world at that time, their identity was based upon the fact that they didn't understand who God's identity was. They didn't worship Him as God. And so because they didn't understand who God was, their identity was as a result of that knowledge of God. Today, if you don't understand who Jesus is, and I'm talking about salvation, if you don't understand that Jesus is your Savior, then your identity is determined by that knowledge. The other thing I'll point out, and again, this is introduction, identification is not about, and so many people get this wrong, and this is where the world gets everything wrong in this. Identification is not about being different. The world wants to suggest that it's about being unique. Identification is about being like something, not different than something else. And we see this actually in life. History today, the way things are done today, whenever a husband and a wife have a child, that child is identified with their parent by their last name. It's based upon the likeness of their parent, not upon the differences. In Jesus' day, in the days back here, you would see the name Bar-Jesus or Bar-Joseph, which literally meant son of. And for some pieceless piece of information in history, which you probably don't care about, but I always love, you know, you ever wondered how people would be called Robinson? Or in one example, you might think, have anybody here heard of Eric the Red, the great explorer from Norway? And you ever notice what his son's name was? Leif Erikson. That is how people used to identify their family heritage, was if your name was Tom, their kid's name would be Thomson. And so we've always used the likeness to identify ourselves, not the things that make us distinct, the things that make us different. It's the things that bring us and identify us with something. So you have to understand with identification, it has everything to do with being made like something else. Not independent, as the world wants to determine identification from. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You see, there is a heritage that it makes it very appropriate if everyone had the last name at one point to be Adamson. And if you know where I'm going with this, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, it is because of your likeness to Adam that your identity was what it was. Now praise God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that identity has changed. But at one time, your identity was not sealed up, even in God's view, based upon who your daddy was, but on your likeness to Adam. You were in Adam. That was your identity. And so identity, again, is set up in that situation. Now, today, the choice is man's, where your identity is. Today, it's up to man what he decides he wants his identity to be, insofar as, is he going to stay in Adam, or is he going to be in Christ Jesus? And ultimately, that's what Scripture tells us our identity is, either in Adam or you're in Christ. But how is it? Does Scripture actually teach? How is it that our identity not only changes from Adam, so that we're no longer convicted by the sin, as Romans 5 here is talking about, not only that we have done, but also the fact that because we're the product of Adam. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all in my book. Okay? From Adam on, sin has passed on. Death has passed on to every single one, except for one anyway. But look down here in verse 17 of Romans 5. So how is it that this identification works? So if you were in Adam, verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation." There is no getting around it. All men have the condemnation as a result of that one man. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so what we're being taught here in Scripture, yes, we understand salvation, that we're saved by grace, but you have to understand the salvation that you have brings you so much more. It literally changes your identity. You don't just become a Christian, but you're still defined by your own decisions. That you're still defined in a way that you yourself want. I'm here to tell you, church, that's not the way God views it. That's not the way God intended it. If you want to be identified out of Adam, you have to be identified with Jesus Christ. You have to accept the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you're identified, and here's a word I want you to understand, fully with Jesus. Not partially with Jesus. Not fully with Jesus on the days you do good, and not so much on the days you do bad. You are identified fully with the Lord Jesus. And how does that work? Well, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 5 give us some insight into this. Look at what it says here. Starting in verse 3. Know you not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. See, you are identified so much with Jesus Christ that by being baptized into Jesus Christ, you are so identified with him that because he is dead to sin, guess what that means for you? You're identified with him, so that means you're dead to sin. He's raised up again. So what does that mean for you? That means you are going to be raised up again because you are so identified. That's what in Christ literally means. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness, there's really the word you're going to get for identification, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul here is explaining the idea that because of your likeness, because of your identification, that the things that happen to Christ, they so shall happen to you. And verse 3 tells us how that takes place. When you believe the gospel, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, matter of fact, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you are literally baptized by the Spirit into Christ. See, that's the one baptism that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4. When he says there's one baptism, it's the Spirit baptism. Chapter 12, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. What body is that? The body of Christ. Whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. How does this identification actually take place? Again, your salvation is not just a matter of you being forgiven of your sins. If you are just only forgiven of your sins, that in itself doesn't bring you into resurrection. That's why it says that he was raised for our justification. And so it is, honestly put, to understand identification, you would do well to understand what baptism really is. Baptism has to do with identification. Okay? That's what baptism has to do with. This isn't going to be a lesson on baptism, but you really do need to understand it. In the case of water baptism, it identifies you with the cleansing of water, which is why you had to be water baptized in the early church. In Acts chapter 2 and in the Gospels, water baptism identifies you with cleansing water. In the Old Testament, they used to dye cloth. And that was called a baptism. Why? Because you would identify that cloth with that dye. In the Old Testament, whenever it talks about Israel was baptized into Moses, they, whenever they crossed the Red Sea, they were literally identified with Moses. The Christian baptism that 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about, the Christian baptism that Romans chapter 6, verse 3 is talking about, is that by believing the gospel, you weren't just saved from your sins. You were literally baptized by the Spirit into Christ Jesus. And so every position that you have in Christ Jesus is literally based upon that Spirit baptism. It's based upon you now being identified with Christ. And so do well to understand it. Our likeness, as Romans 6 talks about, our likeness has changed from Adam to Christ. And I don't know that we give that due credit. Galatians chapter 3 says, "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's Galatians 3. I'm not going to go there, but that's verses 26 and 27 if you want to look it up. So in other words, you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So understand the ramifications of that. You're not a child of God if you're not in Christ. You're in Adam, not in Christ. But it also then, again, verse 27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is the Spirit baptism. And when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit of promise, according to Ephesians chapter 1, you received that Holy Spirit of promise. And that promise is that God has changed you from your identification with Adam to Himself, Christ Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What does that involve? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here we see, and this verse can be dissected in many different ways, meaning we can talk about what I'm talking about, or we can talk about our life as a here on earth. But verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's because you're now in Christ. That's because you now have been identified with Christ. And that's because you were baptized with the Holy Spirit into Christ, which only happens to the believer. So, it's pretty easy to tell. You don't define you. I don't define me. I can be accused of many things, but I don't get to define myself. And thank God other people don't get to define me. God has defined you already. That should be sobering, and that also should be awe-inspiring. You have been bought. You have been purchased. At that moment when you put your faith in Christ, you have been bought and purchased, and God stamps you with His identification. And what does that mean? I wish we had more time. I really did. I even considered extending this out for a couple of weeks because there's so many things we could talk about with identification. But I really wanted to talk to you about the doctrine of identification versus every aspect that we could go over, which, like I said, would be weeks in itself. But what does that mean, that you are a new creation? What does that mean literally for you? It's simple for me to get up here and say, okay, now that you're not in Adam, you are in Christ. What does that actually mean for the believer? Well, Ephesians 1 says that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And people are like, well, what in the world does that mean? Now, it's interesting if you study that, it's Ephesians 1:13, if you go study that, the blessings there, that Greek word for blessed, for blessing, is the Greek word that we get for eulogy. Eulogy is whenever you get up and you speak well of somebody. So you've been spoken of well by God forever. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So from now on, from now into eternity, from the, whenever you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forever spoken well of by God. And that's because you're in Christ Jesus. That happens because of your identification, not because of what you've done, not because of who I am. There's a great Christian song. I would sing it to you, but that wouldn't work out well. Who Am I by Casting Crowns? I love that song. I don't know if you're familiar with the song. It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. And that's what it really is. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of who you are. That is the heart of identification. It's no longer about who you were or what you want to do. Your identification is sealed up and certain based upon who he is. And that's what identification comes down to. Schofield has a great quote whenever he's talking about these spiritual blessings in heavens, in the heavenly places. He says, "The believer is a heavenly man and a stranger and pilgrim on the earth." That is so very true. I wish we truly lived our lives that way. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, we're told that our citizenship is in heaven. See, God is telling us all of these things to let us know. All of these things that he's done for us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 does a great job of talking about our identification. Starting in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I've said to many times to many people, and I'll say it again. If you're a new believer, or if you know a new believer, tell them to read Romans, and then read Romans, and then read Romans, and then read Romans. And after the fifth time, go read Ephesians, and read Ephesians, and read Ephesians. And after you've done that three or four times, all right, then let's move on. You're going to learn about your identification. You're going to know the heart of salvation so much through these two books. And I'm not saying that the rest aren't important. If you know me, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying as a new believer, go understand these two books. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you," he's talking to believers here, "you hath he quickened," you he's made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." See, there's a course of this world that you cannot fight if you're in Adam. Guess what? You can be giving money to charity. You can be doing all kinds of off things. But if you're in Adam, you are walking according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Among whom, verse 3, "also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, we all had the same nature at one time. We all had that nature of Adam. We all had that identification in Adam. Verse 4, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Do you understand the tone in which that's talking about? It's not saying, "and he may do this." And it's not saying, "well, if you put enough hours in, as a Christian," it's not if you put enough money in the plate, it's not if you do any sacraments. It's saying he has done it. He's already, and that's why I quoted Philippians 3, that our citizenship is in him. It's already settled because of who Christ is. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. So what are some of these, what does it mean for you to be identified? Obviously, you've been forgiven of your sins, and I didn't want to spend too much time on that because we've talked about salvation quite a bit. Romans chapter 6, verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. Well, if Christ dies no more, what do you think that means for you? You die no more. Death has no dominion over him. If you're identified with Christ, that means death has no dominion over you. This is what it means to be identified. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but that he lives unto God. And that's your fate as a result of your identification. Look at chapter 8, verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 11. Here we see it even more plainly. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, understand that because Jesus died to sin, you are dead to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. When you were in Adam, it had dominion. That's why you walked after the course of this world, because sin had dominion over you. But now in Christ Jesus, because you're identified with him, not only are you forgiven from your sins, but the reason why you're forgiven from your future sins is because now you're in Christ Jesus. Sin has no more dominion over you. And if he's been raised, then you too will be raised. You are dead to sin. You are alive in Christ. Even if your body perishes, you will be raised because you are in Christ and he was raised. You have peace with God, which is profound in itself. You are forever free from the wrath of God. And if that doesn't make you say amen and hallelujah, it should. Church, the wrath to come, the fact that you're saved from it, it's because of being identified with Christ. Do you realize that you are holy and without blame before God? Think of that. You are holy and without blame before God because of your identification to Jesus Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved because of your identification. You are an heir of God, and that's a sermon itself. You are literally an heir of the one who is the ruler of the world. Now, I know many people that would love to be, you know, you hear this word, you know, thrown out whenever it's a rich daughter of a wealthy family, and she's an heiress. And they're like, boy, I'd really like to have had that situation. Do you realize that you are ready, are an heir to the ruler of heaven and earth? That should amaze us. See, God didn't just save us. He gave us all kinds of things to be an heir. Galatians 3, again, that we talked about, says that you're a child of God through faith in Jesus. Church, do you realize because of your identification that you are loved perfectly because of being in Christ Jesus? You have an inheritance incorruptible. That inheritance can never be corrupted. It can never be sold out from underneath you. It can never be squandered, either by someone else or by yourself. That inheritance is locked away and guaranteed. To those who are in Christ, and this is what I would like to tell those who don't understand their identification, because there's a lost and dying world out there, and we know that. But there's also a lost Christian world out there, Christians, and I'm not talking about lost in salvation. I'm talking about lost because they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know anything about this doctrine. This is why I say you should study the doctrine of identification. But for if you are in Christ and you don't understand it, there are many out there who say, I am alone and I am unloved. Do you understand? The Christ says, I died to save you so that we could be together forever. To those in Christ who would say, I am a failure, Christ says, you're more than an overcomer through me. To those in Christ who would say, I am nothing, Christ says, you are a child of God, and you are now made in my image. There are so many Christians that don't understand the greatness of their identification. So many Christians, excuse me, that need to understand, wow, don't know how that happened. You'll never see me get choked up. And if you're new here, just go ahead and believe me on that one. There's so many Christians that seem to think, again, that they can define their own identity. I've become a Christian, and that's great. I'm saved. And yes, I believe we should do good, but then go about to set about their own desires for their own identification. Church, do we really want that option? I don't. I am so very thankful that the moment that I believe, the moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for my sins, that in His finished work, that I no longer get to define myself. Paul talks about the fact that I do the things that I should not. I don't do the things that I should. And so my message to those who are in Christ, understand the specialness of who you are, because your specialness is rooted in the specialness of Jesus Christ. And for those who aren't in Christ Jesus, I would say that if you want all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, if you want your citizenship to be in heaven, if you want all of the blessings that come with being an heir of God, if you want to be able to know now and forever where your eternity is, there's only one way. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, tell us exactly what that is. The gospel of your salvation is to put your faith and trust in the finished work of only one who could ever do it, and that's Jesus Christ. Your choice is either to do that or to stay in Adam. And go about choosing your own way, but one day, there's going to be an answer for it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for who I am in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the truth of your word that we not only have this to be a reality, but Lord, that you've given us your word so that we can know these things. So that we can be confident. Father, there is so much more to this discussion that we can't even get into. How is it that we walk in the newness of life? How is it that the believer can conquer sin in this world, meaning not continue doing sin? There are so many things that we could talk about, Father. But my prayer is that your saints would just understand the specialness of their identification. I pray that we could explain to a world that needs to hear it that they're still in Adam, where their identification is. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time that we have. And I pray that as we go our separate ways, Father, that you would just help us to find joy in these truths. Your desire is for us to be happy and to find joy. And so, Father, we should see the joy throughout these truths. And so I just pray for that. I pray that as we go our separate ways, Lord, that we can influence those around us. And as always, we just pray for those who are lost, that we can be ministering to them. Pray for those who couldn't be with us this morning. And we always pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.